Hi, everybody, and welcome to another episode of A Gem of a Secret podcast. My name is Coco Gem Holiday. Happy Pride Month, listeners. So as we enter into Pride Month, I wanted to have an episode dedicated to Pride. And I'm going to talk about my experiences with Pride and being a drag artist and being a book drag artist during Pride and what that means from a realistic standpoint versus what people might think it actually is. So today I'm decked out in all rainbows. I'm wearing a really beautiful suit and rainbow hair because I wanted to get into the season and get festive. Also, it happens to be my birthday month. My birthday is on June 30th. And I'm really excited to celebrate with every single person on this podcast, as well as members in my community. So, Pride. Pride for drag artists, and I think I've mentioned this in an earlier episode, Pride for drag artists is like really an amazing time to meet new fans, make some money, get out there and show your art to a bunch of different people, because there's a lot of queer people who don't actually come out until it's Pride season. So it gives us this opportunity to then showcase our art to a bunch of people who would never have seen it before. And it's a good time to pull out some tried and true mixes. It's a good time to start working on new mixes that you've always wanted to explore or talk about current events. And that's just a really beautiful time. And that's what Pride is on the working standpoint. But what's also really beautiful about Pride is it's this opportunity for you to live your authentic self. I know that a lot of communities come together during Pride and use Pride as an outlet. Like, you'll see the kink community come out. You'll see, like, the bear community come out. The bear and pup communities come out. You'll see the leather communities come out. You'll see the activist communities come out. You'll see the charity communities come out. You'll see just a whole different group of people celebrating their Pride and living out loud and proud. As a bisexual person myself, I do feel really excited about Pride because I've mentioned in earlier podcasts, I'm in a male-presenting relationship. So Pride is an opportunity for me to hold the hand of my husband and kiss my husband and do all the things that straight people get to do from the second that they're 14 years old or 15 or 16 at their first boyfriend or girlfriend. And it's just, you know, and I just really love Pride for that reason, that you get to just live authentically. And living authentically is such a journey these days. You would think that after 1969 and the Stonewall riots and everything and the civil rights movement, that we would have been so much further from where we were. And for a while, it did feel like we were, because like queer marriage equality happened in, what was it, 2016, I think, is when it was federally approved for us to get married in any state in the United States. And so you would have thought that that meant we were moving forward. But then after Trump took office, there was so many, I feel like Trump really did give a voice to people who were super against queerness. It gave a voice to homophobes. It gave a voice to transphobic individuals as well. And so I think that with Pride, it gives us a little bit more of a safety net. Now, what's really sad is with all the mass shootings that have happened in our country over the last several years, it does make people feel uncomfortable to get into group settings in this way. But I feel like this Pride is going to be one for the ages, because we were stuck inside from 2021 to 2022 to a little bit of 2023. Well, actually, not really 2023. We were stuck inside from like 2020 to 2021, coming back out for 2022. And then so I feel like this Pride in 2023 is going to be the opportunity for people to feel more safe to be out and around. I remember last year in 2022, I saw so many people who it was their very first Pride because they became old enough to go to Pride during COVID. And it was heartbreaking that they were finally getting to experience this life. And it wasn't a big festival. There weren't big festivals that were happening because people really were uncomfortable about what this dynamic would look like. And, you know, if they were actually going to be safe out in public, on top of the fact that they, you know, might not feel safe in their own skin. And I want to touch on this in a little bit of a trigger warning. Somebody said, I think that our kids can handle a drag queen story hour if they're practicing active shooter drills. And I have been thinking about that line for days now, because as there is an attack on drag, because drag is unsafe, it's too adult and things like this, but then we have kids in school who are practicing active shooter drills because of all of the mass shootings that happened at places with children. And it's heartbreaking, and we want the world to be a better place, and I know that. And I know this sounds like a really high-level conversation, but the fact of the matter is people just want to live authentically without feeling that they're going to be murdered for living their best lives, for living loving somebody who, you know, may not be your ideal for who you think they should love. And one another thing about Pride too is, because it's been so many years, I also get some of the best like queer media at Pride, like, because, you know, Pride will sell books and movies and things like that, and you can get like great stuff that you just don't necessarily find like on the shelf or wherever. You have independent artists selling their wares, like you can get some good rainbow flag and rainbow paraphernalia, and it's just so great. And then also the talent is always usually amazing, and it's just people are wearing their rainbows and the free hug, free mom hugs and free dad hug shirts. And then of course you do always have that one like crazy Christian person on the corner spouting Bible verses, and like the whole thing is just an amazing experience, even with some of the bad. I want to talk a little bit more in the second half about police officers, but in this first half, I wanted to really keep it on the positive sides of Pride. So let's get into some of the nitty gritty, and let's get into some of the things that are a little bit more specific to our community. Do you know what it's like to live the majority 11 months out of the year feeling like if you don't do something correctly, it can shatter your whole world? It can shatter who you are. It can shatter your opportunities. It can shatter you as a person. Sometimes that's what it's like to be queer in conservative spaces and spaces that are not as open, spaces that are not as friendly, spaces that only tolerate instead of accept. It can sometimes feel like such a heavy burden. And I think that's why people go so wild during Pride, is because they feel like they're out of the closet. And yeah, they've told their folks, they've told their friends, they've told their employer, but there's still these microaggressions that happen from being queer that folks still have to deal with. People like expect us to have all the same interests and be attracted to all the same types and whoop-de-whoop-de-whoop. And like, and that's just not the reality. Like the queer experience, it's just like the straightest experience. That's literally like saying every straight person on the planet is the same, which obviously isn't true. Like there are universals to being queer as there are with being straight, but it's more so on the level of like we have shared oppression and shared trauma more so than anything else. And that's not necessarily something I want to bond over at Pride. I want to have those healing moments. Like, you know, like at Pride, Pride is one of the things that's great about, like, it'll even like help end stigma against like HIV and STIs and like things like that we had to deal with for so many years. It'll help even the people who are still religious, like find a church that is more accepting of who they are. And like, you know, they can bring their partner to church. You'll have community groups and like a gay men's chorus or something like that. You can find your tribe in your community. And that is what's so great and so beautiful about it as a whole. Because at the end of the day, finding who you are can sometimes be the most difficult journey. But when you're finally there, it's nice to be able to figure out where else you fit in. Because I had this moment recently where I met several new people who it was their first drag show and they loved it so much. And some wanted to start drag, but some wanted to just be support as a drag. And they're just like, yeah, I just wanted to be out. I just wanted to do this. This just seemed like so much fun. And the thing is, nightlife and queerness and drag should be fun. It should be loving and exciting and all these other things in between. So yeah, keep that in mind as you venture out into Pride. In the second half, I'm going to talk about some more of the negatives. But before we get there, I wanted to know, how are you doing, listeners?
You know, when it comes to drag, a lot of us were exposed to it because of the Rocky Horror Picture Show. And you know what's even cooler than that? They sometimes do shadow casts of Rocky Horror all over the city. Specifically speaking, Marla Darling presents the Rocky Horror Lavender Show at Clinton Street Theater. Join Marla's cast of queer, trans, and BIPOC individuals as they present the original Midnight Mass, the Rocky Horror Picture Show, at the historic Clinton Street Theater. Show dates are July 29th, September 30th, and October 27th. Tickets are available at cstpdx.com. That is cstpdx.com. Don't dream it, be it.
It's a podcast. Check it out. Tune into What They Tell You podcast. Check
it out. And we are back, listeners. So, a little bit of history. So Pride Month and Pride and how it started, and I know a lot of us already know this story, but let's just have a brief history for any of my new listeners who wanted to join in. So the Stonewall Riots began on June 28, 1969, and they marked a turning point in the LGBTQ movement for civil rights. The riot began when a group of people at the Stonewall Inn, a gay bar in New York City, were being harassed by police officers. The harassment by police wasn't new to the bar patrons, but this night the community rose up against it. The decision of a few brave Stonewall Inn patrons to fight back and stand against police brutality and injustice kicked off days of demonstrations throughout the city to protest the discrimination and mistreatment of gay and lesbian communities. No one actually was killed during these riots, but a lot of people were arrested and a lot of people were injured. The first anniversary of the Stonewall riots was celebrated with gay pride parades in Chicago, San Francisco, Los Angeles, and near the Stonewall Inn in New York. Since the Stonewall riots, it inspired activists to create different LGBTQ plus organizations and civil rights organizations across the country. And Pride celebrations take place every June as a reminder that the movement for equality continues even till today. I took snippets of that from the PBS website. It's one of the things that I want to talk about when it's about Pride. So, like, this is pushing back against police harassment, like harassment by the police. So the conversation is, do cops belong at Pride? My standpoint has always been cops out of uniform belong at Pride. I believe in, like, hiring security companies to make sure Pride is safe. And obviously, if somebody's in danger, obviously calling paramedics, something like that. But I don't believe, like, the Portland Police Department should have, like, a booth at Pride. That doesn't make any sense to me. Pride started as a pushback from police brutality. And because we have the BLM movement and the BLM protests, where we're still seeing that police brutality is still a very real thing in our country, it doesn't make sense to offer this group of people an outlet, because it's basically saying, and this isn't a false equivalency, it's basically saying, like, okay, we're going to allow the police into the queer space, but we know that police are still having issues with Black people. And so it almost makes, like, queer community seems like they're complicit in violence against Black people. And that's not a far-reaching step. Like, you see racism and bigotry on the dating apps left and right, right? You see it, like, you know, they want no Asians, no Blacks, no brown folks. Like, that, this stuff still exists even till today. So when we have cops at Pride, it makes Black folks feel really unsafe. And then also, a lot of queer kids, just to bring it back to the queer conversation, a lot of queer kids are still getting kicked out of their homes. And cops harass houseless people. It's a very known fact that they do. And even though Portland is trying to be better about it, there's a lot of avenues that they're not. And so when you have queer houseless kids being kicked out of their encampments by police officers, and then you see police officers at Pride, it just sends the wrong message. There are so many opportunities for police to not be involved in Pride. Like, and the thing is, even if police are involved in, like, helping with the parade routes or even being security as actual police officers, they don't belong in the festival and the celebration of authenticity. Yeah, and I know that there are queer police officers out there. Do not get me wrong. But a queer police officer, if they're on duty, they can stand outside with the rest of them. But if they're off duty, yeah, put on your rainbow flags, put on your gay shirt, and come in and celebrate with your community. Like, that's what this is about. Like, if we are literally saying that we're forgetting where Pride started and why we are here, then that's going to keep perpetuating hurtful and harmful actions going forward when it comes to producing these festivals. I was involved in the Pride Board, as I said on this podcast before, in Grand Junction, Colorado. It's a lot of work to plan a Pride. Like, it's a lot of work to plan a Pride. I got to perform on the Portland Pride main stage last year, and you can see how many ins and outs of that process there were. It was insane. And I've been recognizing that the more people involved in these things is the opportunity for them to grow and get bigger. But when it comes to a larger city Pride, like, there's so many volunteers who dedicate their time to giving us a safe space. Why would you want to make it feel unsafe by having police officers there? I can tell you right now, I'm not necessarily intimidated or afraid of police officers. And I don't think most queer people are. The phrase is, like I'm uncomfortable with them being here because of what we're doing here to be ourselves. Like if you ever hear any of the older drag artists in this city talk, like Poison Waters, for instance, or some of the other ones, they'll like actually even talk about how they in Portland specifically, you know, they had to have an article of male clothing on them when they would leave the bars, you know, or they could get harassed by police officers. Like that happened even in this incredibly progressive city. Like these things are true. And so as we move forward in trying to figure out how we want to celebrate, let's not also forget our history here. Because I know that this is a really divisive subject for folks because they're like, no, police should belong there. Like, times have changed. Times have not changed that much. I mean, Portland had some of the biggest BLM protests in the nation. And so, like, having cops at Pride in this way just doesn't make sense to me. And it's just a thing that we need to really recognize and learn from. And we're going to talk about this even a little bit more. The idea that, like, if you put police at Pride as a bridge between those communities to where they will treat our communities safer, that means it seems so backwards to me, because if the nature of police are supposed to be peacekeepers and safety officers, then why do we have to give them this space in a Pride festival for them to do their jobs or treat our community better? I believed it. So in Grand Junction, I remember I actually went in with the victims' advocates and police officers and correctional officers and gave presentations on queerness and safety. And it just, because a lot of people said, and I remember this so distinctly, this one woman was so offended. She's like, I treat everybody the same. I treat everybody the same. Like if a police officer said to me, I treat everybody the same, that is wrong. Yep. Treating everybody the same is wrong when it comes to people that provide a service, because there's overcorrection that needs to happen to create an equitable environment. What that means is a police officer needs to be extra cautious and extra kind when dealing with Black individuals. It means that police officers have to be mindful that in a domestic violence situation between two men, just because it's two men doesn't mean that the hurt and the heartbreak is any less, and sometimes it can be even louder, right? It's knowing how to use pronouns correctly. It's like, oh, I'll just like, I'll just apologize and move on. It's like, how about we learn and do training about how to ask about someone's pronouns before we just automatically assume? Stuff like that. And I know in these urgent situations, you're like, why does it matter if it's two men, two women, gender nonconforming individuals? Like, why should they care or even matter if they're here to just keep us safe? It's because they feel unsafe when they don't care. So, like, if you're sitting on your bed after your partner just beat the crap out of you and the police officer is making it seem like boys will be boys, like, that's not the kind of thing that you want to see. And I can tell you right now, in dealing with the police officers for domestic violence situations with two men, I would have loved if they could have been a little bit more kind. I would have loved if they could have understood that just because it's two men doesn't make the marriage any less valid. It would be great to be able to have police officers really understand that a different dynamic involves a little bit more caring that needs to happen. And so that's why that's heartbreaking, is because they just didn't seem to understand that, especially in my case. So as we look at creating and bridging gaps, like maybe not at our parties, but maybe definitely in different avenues of where there's events that police officers are throwing to get to know their queer community members better. I don't think a police officer should throw a pride. Like, I don't think there should be like a Portland police officer pride, like thing like that. Not in that capacity. I don't think that makes sense. But maybe some employee of the month or spotlighting their queer police officers or however that operates. Now, this isn't about the conversation about, ACAB and abolishing the police. That's a very different conversation to this. And I'm not saying I disagree with that tactic, but we're talking about the institution as it exists today, right? Because Pride is happening next month. We're not abolishing the police by next month. I mean, I guess technically it could happen, but we're not going to do that, right? So just this is where police belong, or where police belong in Pride that's happening next month here in Portland, actually even in the country. You know, I've had some friends who said to me that they really don't understand, queer friends, how when we make these lines, they think that it creates more divisiveness. They think it makes it less equitable for what we're trying to achieve. And I think that a good ally, and if police want to be allies to the queer community, I've always believed that a good ally can hear the words that are being said and recognizing that if it doesn't affect them, then they can let a person have these words. Saying like all white people are kind of inherently racist is a kind of a true fact, because they're born in a society that's built for them and by them. And so, of course, they don't see the racism as it exists, and everybody kind of participates and perpetuates that racism. And that's understandable. So when people are like, well, that's not me, and they get defensive and they get like really angry and violent about it, then that's not helping anybody. But usually your allies will be like, oh yeah, like white people are inherently racist. We benefit from so much privilege on a daily basis. And it's same thing with our straight allies. Our straight allies don't have to. The funny thing about our straight allies is it's a lot more, at least in my opinion, there's a lot more mental things, because you can't immediately see queerness, right? It's a lot more mental things, like the things that we did as queer kids in high school and in our young adult lives that were different than the straight experience, even if we were still in the closet. Because even being in the closet means that your thoughts are usually plagued with your queerness at some point, which that's something that straight people don't have to deal with. They don't have to be, because loving somebody tends to monopolize your brain. It tends to make you feel like this is the only thing that you know. Like, I remember before I came out, I probably thought about it. Gosh, this is going to sound like an exaggeration, but it's literally true. I probably thought about it like 30 to 50 times a day, every single day until I came out, about how I wanted to come out, what these feelings were, how confusing these feelings were. And like queer kids, even when they're going through, all kids, when they're going through puberty, can usually talk to their parents about it if they have good parents. But you can't, like, people don't always feel safe talking to their parents about their queerness. And so it makes it a thing that we were constantly struggling and dealing with. And that's why a lot of queer kids are wild in their 20s, because once they come out, it's basically like they're back in high school. And so when we think about creating these safety spheres for people to feel and live in their authentic lives, it's just another thing we need to be more mindful of, and understanding where people are coming from and meet them where they are. And when people tell us who they are, we should refer to them as that, and learn that even though we may not understand something, it doesn't mean it's necessarily wrong. So the other thing too, the other kind of negative points about Pride are, like, let's talk about religion, for instance. Now, most people can get past, like, a church group being involved in Pride, you know, because a lot of people have religious trauma, especially queer kids, right? So they'll go to a Pride festival and they see a church that's really accepting and whoop-de-whoop-de-whoop, and, like, and I know that sometimes people are like, I don't believe that religious groups should belong here because they were so harmful to us. And it's like, well, some groups were, but not all groups are, because some people do have a strong faith system. So on the conversation of should religious groups belong at Pride, I absolutely think they should, as long as they are fully and completely accepting. Now, I'm not going to talk about the capitalistic identities of, like, people putting a rainbow Pride flag up in their church window, you know, for a church that's not really all that accepting. I'm talking about those churches that are like, oh yeah, we reach out to this community, we give back to this community, and we participate in this community. That is a big thing. That is a beautiful thing. And then finally, let's talk about the sexual side of Pride. Right now, I know that, and this is going to be something that's really divisive to end the podcast on, but right now we are all being looked at like underneath a microscope. And as much as we should be able to live our authentic selves, one thing we have to remember is that these pictures that we may get tagged in or posted online could be used potentially in marketing and advertising for groups of people that want to hurt us. I'm not saying that any of us should slow down, but we should definitely be more mindful of it as we move forward, because we don't want to be the viral thing that the other side uses to make us feel like we are less than. So keep that in mind, listeners, as you go celebrate Pride, because it is the first day of Pride Month, and we all should be celebrating all these beautiful things about ourselves, because not everybody gets to do it. And so we are part of a community that has a long history and is so loving and it's kind, and so we should participate. Yeah. Happy Pride, listeners. Hi, everybody. This has been another episode of A Gem of a Secret Podcast. The host of A Gem of a Secret Podcast is Coco Gem Holiday. Our music was provided by Touche Douche and Party Favors. You can follow them on Instagram at Touche Likes Beef and Party Favors Music. Please follow us online at www.agemofasecretpodcast.com. That is a J-E-M of a secret podcast.com or anywhere you listen to podcasts. Our episodes are released every Thursday. Bye-bye.